Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for this beautiful morning. I praise the name of the Lord. I give you honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah. God bless everyone that's in here this morning. God bless my grandson. I promise it's his 12th birthday today, and I'm so excited. Praise the Lord. And I didn't know about it. I didn't think of it until my wife mentioned it, that the title of the message had promise in it. Tie back to his, I wasn't even thinking about that at all, but you'll hear about that in a minute. Father, I thank you. I give you glory and honor. The entrance of your word, as always, we know gives understanding and brings light into our hearts. Let that light shine in our hearts today to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, today's lesson is actually a follow-up from yesterday's. And it just so happens that today is my grandson's birthday, and his name is Promise. I wasn't thinking about that when I put out the message. I was just thinking about yesterday's message. So we thank God for that blessing that's coming, you know, even from that name, Promise. Well, yesterday, our lesson was on contradictions to the word of promise. And so we covered how to engage the promise of the Lord. When you engage his promise, it becomes a word of promise to you. If you don't know what was promised, it's not a promise to you. But once you know it and you engage it, then it becomes God's word of promise to you. That's right. Now, so we talked about all the various things that can cause contradictions. That was yesterday. Now, today, and that's some of those can come from circumstances around you, can come from the devil, can come from even your own mind, doubting, thinking one way or the other. You know, today, I want to talk about another dimension to that, which is really a part of yesterday's lesson. So today it's the promise, the altar, and the blessing. Now the devil will challenge God's promises in your life. We covered that yesterday. You have to listen to yesterday's replay in case you missed it. Give you a background for today's lesson. But, you know, the devil may challenge that, the voice of doubt, the voice of reason, the voice of unbelief, you know, various things may challenge promise of God and the word of promise in your life. Unbelief especially, the very dangerous one. And we covered that yesterday. But today, I want to talk about the real blessing, you know, for that blessing. I mean, the real blessing for that promise comes when God himself puts you to the test over the promise. And if you pass the test, hallelujah. You know, so, you know, the real blessing comes from God himself putting you to the test over his word of promise to you. And when you pass the test, that's when the real blessing comes. You know, so sometimes we have a word of promise and we are struggling and struggling, you know, for its fulfillment. And it just seems as if, you know, things are not coming to pass exactly as God promised it. We heard so many aspects of what we needed to do yesterday. Now, think of this. Perhaps there is a missing piece of knowledge or information in our lives, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. And if we don't know how to go about the things of God, we continue to miss out. So this will help to close that gap on how to actually step into the blessing. We're going to use the story of Abraham here. Now, we all know that Abraham is referred to as the father of faith. you know, because of what he did, waiting about 25 years patiently for the promise of Isaac. Well, I mean, many of us know that story. So, but there are some elements we want to bring out today. The way that God finally brought the promise to pass in the promise of Isaac and the blessing through Isaac to pass in Abraham's life, and afterwards how the Lord tested that promise and how the blessing finally came. That's what we want to look at today. Now, he got the promise after waiting for a long time. And but the real blessing came to him only after he passed the ultimate test from God. The ultimate test from God. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 17, we see where God gave him the promise. In verses 7 and 8, the Lord gave him a promise. Beautiful promise too. One thing that I want to call out, which I have called out many times in the past, is that when God gave him this promise, Abraham was, you know, nobody at all. I mean, he didn't even have a child. But God promised him, you know, to make him a father of many nations. And you could have just imagined when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Just imagine the people that understood the meaning of that name. And here he would say to them, would they call him Abram? He would say, no, don't call me Abram. My name is now Abraham. Because I will be the father of nations. And he could have been mocked and laughed at. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be a father of nations? I mean, you're already 75 years old. Your wife also is stricken in age. You have no child. And yet you are going to be father of nations. We have many children. And we don't call ourselves father of nations. How in the world are you now, at this time, going to do more valiantly than all of us put together? Father of nations indeed. They could have mocked him, but he said, well, I will be the father of nations. And he changed his name to prove it too. Now, that was the promise. That promise was given to him. And he was also told that Sarah herself, in verses 15 to 16, her name will also be changed. She'll become fruitful, you know. And he said, I will also bless her and give her a son, you know. And she will be the mother of nations, you know. You will be the father of nations. And Sarah will be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. So God, you know, blessed the two of them. Powerful promises. Now, of course, you know, that promise took many years before it came to pass. Well, let's fast forward to, before I go to the next chapter, in verse 19 and 20 or to 21 of this same Genesis 17, God promised that the child that will come, even gave his name ahead of time. You call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. And later in the epistles, we read that that seed indeed was Christ. Now, he said, God said, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. So God set the time from that point to the next year. At this set time, you have that child. And of course, the child came, as we know. Now let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 18. I'm just going to go through the story of Abraham to bring out a point. So we've seen the promise, right? And in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10 and verse 14, God repeated the promise. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Well, you know, Sarah didn't think that it was possible. She laughed. Abraham had also laughed too. They didn't think it was possible. But here's what the Lord said in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a question I want to ask everybody today. You know, there may be a promise that you've been waiting for, something you're hoping for, something you're trusting for the Lord for, but it doesn't seem to be forthcoming right away. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? The answer is a resounding no. At the time appointed will I return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. The Lord told you point blank. We do it too. And Sarah said, well, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, yeah, you did laugh too. But the mercy of God, nonetheless, you know, was with them to bring it forth. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, I'll go backwards a little bit to give you a background for the test that would come. In Genesis, you've seen the promise, but here is the test. Here's the reason why that test must come. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision and said, Abraham, his name was not yet changed then, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. Now, that's what the Lord promised him, himself. The Lord promised Abraham himself. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Now, the Lord didn't exactly say, I will give you a great reward, but he said, I myself will be your exceeding great reward. So God was offering Abraham himself. Now, Abraham, at that time, Abraham, like many of us, when God offers us something higher, we go for something else. You know, he said, well, but I don't have a child. And that was his problem at that point. And this is the problem that many of us have too. I've referred to this over and over again as need consciousness. When you are in the presence of Almighty God, and when Almighty God is trying to give you all of himself, and your mind wanders off to things that you don't have, then that's called need consciousness. Abraham was conscious of his need, but I don't have a son. And this, my servant Eliezer of Damascus, is going to be my heir. You know, and the Lord said, no, he will not be your heir, but a son that will come out of your own loins, he will be your heir. You know, so God brought him forth and showed him, look all around and so forth. And, you know, I see all these stars. If you can tell the number of them, that's how this your seed will be. But keep in mind, at that time, Abraham actually did believe God. And we're told that God counted it to him for righteousness. But keep in mind that there was one thing that God offered himself. And Abraham chose to ask for something else. All right. Now, finally, fast forward many years. So this child of promise actually comes after the child that was organized after the flesh. We know Ishmael was organized after the flesh. Eventually, Isaac came. And Abraham loved this Isaac because it was what God had promised him. And he came in his old age, his wife also being old and everything. And he loved and cherished that son, you know, possibly more than anything else. And he put all his heart into that boy because he thought, well, you know, that's how the Lord promised me, and so forth. So in Genesis 21, we see that God visited Sarah in verse 1, as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken, and the Lord will do to you as he has spoken. Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac, even as God had commanded him. Now, at that time, Abraham was 100 years old, you know, and when Isaac was born to him. So Sarah now said, God has made me to laugh. Now, Sarah did her own laughter at one time, laughing against, you know, the promise of God, because she thought it could not come to pass. But this is the laughter that God gives after the Lord enlarges, you know, your heart to receive his goodness. You know, when the Lord enlarges you, he fills your heart and your mouth with true laughter. And the Lord, you know, has made Sarah to laugh, he said, you know, that, and she said, look, at my old age, shall I give children suck again? I have borne a son in my old age to my husband. And so on and so forth. So we see all of that. Then, so the promise looks like it came. And they had the promise. But the real blessing did not come until something else happened. You know, so now. In Genesis chapter 22, we're going to see the test. Remember, this lesson is the promise, the altar, and the blessing. The test would be, bring your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. Bring him and offer him up as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will show you. That was the test. Well, the test, and there are many reasons for this test. You can imagine any number of reasons in your head that you want. But I dare say that, you know, when the Lord offers you himself and you allow your mind to wander off to something else, and the Lord said, I will give you myself. And you say, well, but I don't have a child. Okay, God will give you that child, but you are going to have to bring it to the altar, because the Lord will be first place in our lives or no place at all. God will not take second place in our lives to anything, not even the things which even God himself can give. Remember, all good and perfect gifts come from above. With God, there's no shadow of turning, no variableness, and all of that. He gives all good gifts, and they are all perfect when he gives them. However, even the things that he himself can give cannot be compared to God himself. Now, God can give us things, but those things cannot replace him in our lives. Now, when we put our attention on the things that God can give us, rather than on God, the giver himself, then even when God does give you that thing, you're going to have to bring it to the altar. So that's the lesson we see here. So Abraham, he chose that to allow his heart to wander after. Because that was the thing that was really heavy in his heart. When the Lord visited him, it was heavy that he didn't have a child. And so God said, fine, I'll give you that child. Father, I'm going to bless you, that child. But that child that you have loved so much now, you're going to have to bring him to the altar. And so you know the story. Abraham took wood, the burnt offering, and put it upon his son Isaac, and took the fire, you know, and so forth, the thing to start the fire, took a knife, took everything, and they went. And so Isaac says to his father, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Hallelujah. And Genesis 22:7-8. And they went to the place that God showed him. So when they got there, Abraham built an altar, set the wood in order, and so forth. And he began to bind his son Isaac. Now, ladies and gentlemen, visualize that. Now, the Bible didn't go into all the traumatic experience that Isaac went through here, but I guarantee you, when your father sets the fire, sets the wood, and begins to bind you with fetters in your hand, this boy will be screaming. You know, but, you know, I mean, it's reported here as if he was just there, not doing anything. But I guarantee you, he was scared out of, I mean, his life was scared to death because he didn't know. And then not only did his father say, "What are you doing? What are you doing, Dad?" He said, "Don't worry about it." You know, and then when the father bound him hand and foot and so forth and carried him and put him upon the altar, I mean, with the wood, the fire, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, what is he doing? You know, and then Abraham, he lifted up his hand, took the knife, and was about to slay his son. Woo-hoo. My goodness. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham! Abraham!" And he said, "Here I am." And the Lord said, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do him any harm. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And that was the ultimate test upon the altar. The promise was given, but that promise had to be put on the altar for the real blessing to come. Now, the real blessing is about to come in a bit. So Abraham, the Lord told him, "Don't worry about, don't kill this boy." As far as God was concerned, though, Abraham had already obeyed and already sacrificed that son. He did, because he put up his hand, he did everything, and he was about to strike the boy. And God held him from doing it. So Abraham, God provided for him a ram that was caught in the bushes when he looked, and he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is till this day. You know, the Lord will provide for himself. You know, so now after all of that, and then the Lord said to him, this is the blessing now to come. Genesis 22 and verse 15. And the angel of the Lord, glory to God. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son." Now, remember, there was the promise given. And then there was a test to bring that promise to the altar. And Abraham passed that test. Now the Lord said, "Because you have passed that test, I am swearing by myself that in blessing will I bless thee." So now the blessing is coming. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, the blessing didn't fully come. He got the promise, but the blessing didn't fully come until he put that promise on the altar, gave it all up to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Give it all back to me." That's right. Give it all back to me. And in that promise, putting that promise on the altar, there came a blessing. "I will bless thee. Surely blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven." Glory to God. "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because that thou hast obeyed my voice." See, and because you passed the test, basically, you know, that's how he did it. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, you know, the Holy Spirit reminding us of this story, he brings it out in a very special way. Now, the promise was there, but the full blessing of that promise was not realized until that promise was placed on the altar. Now, let me read it to you in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 to 15. Now, he said, look, I want you to show diligence of the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, that's right, God, he made the promise to Abraham. Well, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Now, why is that? Well, because people generally swear by somebody greater. So God also himself looking to find somebody greater to swear by. He looked up and down, he looked to heaven, he looked everywhere. He couldn't find anybody greater. So he swore by himself. Glory to God. And he said, surely blessing, I will bless you. Hallelujah. And multiplying, I will multiply. And so after he had patiently endured and passed the test, he obtained the promise. Glory to God. Now that this blessing came not with the promise at the beginning. The promise was given, you know, but the blessing, the one that God put an oath on it, came after the altar. And then God swore by himself. He didn't swear by himself at the beginning. He just gave the promise, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, let's bring that home to us today. The promises that God has given you, the word of promise, remember, it's not a word of promise for you until you know that it was promised. But once you know it and you engage that promise, it becomes your word of promise or God's word of promise to you. Now, what the Lord is telling you today is give it all back to me. Now, some of us are so consumed with that promise. That's right. And God will test that promise. Now, this is not the devil now. This is not even your mind. This is God. This is the supreme test. You know, the word of the Lord will be tried. God will tell you, bring that promise right back to me. Give it all back to me. Hallelujah. Put it right back on the altar. Now, you say, give it all back to me. Well, absolutely. That's what God said. He gave him Isaac and said, give it back to me. Now, how many of us could have actually done what Abraham did? I mean, if you'd see a vision or hear a voice that you should take your most precious son or daughter right now, the one you love the most, as you go and sacrifice them, I guarantee you, you'll be blasting in tongues. You'll be rebuking that voice. You will be pushing back the divination, the enchantment, any kind of thing. I mean, you're going to get into a warfare with that thing. Whatever that, where that voice came from, you're going to send it right back. Because none of us can do what Abraham did here. You know, and as you're ready to sacrifice your son, you're going to say, no, that's not from the Lord. But Abraham knew it was from the Lord because he knew how God spoke to him. He knew God's voice and he recognized that, look, I just got to obey. You know, sometimes obedience means, you know, just do what God says, even when you don't understand. By faith, Abraham obeyed, you know, so obedience is part of faith. He just obeyed. Abraham obeyed. He went out to a place which he knew not. By faith also, when he was told to offer up his son, he obeyed. I mean, expecting that God was able to raise him up again from the dead. He knew God could do that. Even if I kill this boy, God can raise him from the dead. You know, and the Bible says, well, as in a matter of speaking, in a figure, he got this boy back from the dead because he's almost like, you know, as far as God was concerned, Abraham had killed that boy because he obeyed. And then the Bible says that, well, in a figure, he got him back from the dead anyway. So the lesson today is this. It's very simple. The promise the word of promise that you are waiting for. Yesterday we talked about contradictions against that promise. Today we're talking about the promise on the altar. Now that's you bringing that promise back to the altar. And that's you giving it back right back to God. Now, what is the thing that is so precious in your heart? I mean, you praying, I want to get married. I need my husband. I need my wife. I need a child. I need this. I need that. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Bring it right back to the altar. That's right. You know, you got to bring it right back to the altar. You got to give it up. You know, and turn your focus right back to the Lord. Sometimes we are so consumed with the thing that we believe that God has given us. We speak in tongues. We pray. We scream. We shout. We even praise the Lord because of, you know, the thing that we believe is ours and God has promised. And all of those things are good. But sometimes, you know, we fail to hear the still small voice that says, why are you all walked up? Bring it to the altar, saith the Lord. That's right. Why are you getting all walked up for? Bring it to the altar and sacrifice it right back to me. Now, what's a sacrifice on an altar? First of all, the altar of sacrifice. I mean, you know, David said, look, I will not sacrifice anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. Abraham, all of these people, they gave the thing that cost them the most. Now, Abraham could have taken, he was a rich man. He had sheep and oxen and everything. And God could have asked him for any of those things, even a dozen of them or two dozen of them. He would have gladly offered it because he had a lot of stuff. But God didn't ask for that. God went after his, you know, choicest thing or possession. I mean, this Abraham's son, the promise was the choicest thing in his life. And then God said, that's what I want. Give it back to me. Now, that's how God tests. God does not, you know, test you on your weak points. Because he doesn't, you know, he's not interested in your failure. The devil will try you on your weak points. The Lord will go for your strongest point. The thing that you desire the most. The thing that you love the most. The thing that you are so consumed and passionate about. The thing that keeps you up at night. Bring it all back to me, saith the Lord. And put it on the altar of sacrifice. Give it back to me. Lay the wood in order and put it on the altar, saith the Lord. And throw up your hands and believe God for a blessing. Now, the real blessing will come when you are able to give it back, the promise, back to the Lord. So that's a word of wisdom for you today. Yes, the word of promise came to you this year that you will emerge. Yes, the word of promise has come to you from time to time, or by the Holy Spirit, you engaged and you found a word of promise and it became yours. When the promise of God becomes personal, when you are persuaded about it and you embrace it, then it becomes a word of promise to you. That's right. You know, now once you have done that, it's your personal word of promise, whether it's a written word of God that you found or it's some spoken revelative word that God gave you, point blank to you or through someone else, it doesn't matter how it came. You know, once you engage it, it is now God's word of promise to you. But God will do certain things at different times. Sometimes when the time for the promise is getting close, God will begin to do certain things. And even when you get the promise, God may even test that promise. That's right. Praise the Lord, you know. So, I mean, can you just imagine this was the seed that was promised. And in this seed was all the nations of the world be blessed. And you being boasting in the Lord for 25 years, saying you'll be the father of nations, and our very seed, through whom you will be the father of nations, you are now going to kill that child because God said so. That's the ultimate test. And he passed it. And God gave him the ultimate blessing by putting an oath on it. And he swore by himself. That's right. Now, this is more than just a promise. God is now going to swear. God doesn't have to swear by anything. He doesn't have to swear. God, his word is already good. If he gives his word, it's good already. You know, but now, when he now says, I'm going to put an oath behind it. I mean, that's, you know, that means heaven and earth, you know, may pass away, but God is going to pour that blessing on because he put an oath to it. Surely, blessing now, he said, I swear by myself. Glory to God. Now, people swear by the greater, you know, and when they make an oath, the Bible says, well, it's the end of all strife. So God himself also willing to make assurances to the children of the promise. He swore to Abraham by an oath. Hallelujah. But that word did not come until Abraham put that promise on the altar. Well, that's our lesson for you today. There are times that you may have to put that promise on the altar. And I say to you that especially when that promise has taken center of your life, taking center of your attention, all your prayer is wrapped around that promise. All everything you do night and day, the thing that keeps you up at night, or whatever, you know, you're just consumed by it. It is time to bring that promise to the altar. Now, the real blessing may not come until that promise is laid on the altar. Now, there is a time known to God that God will do what he promised you. You may not know it, but you know, God knows the time. But even while you are waiting for the promise, even when you get the promise, God always wants us to put everything on the altar of sacrifice. There must be nothing ever take God's place in our lives. Not even God's own promise cannot take God's place in our life. Not even God's own blessings cannot take God's place in our life. Everything that God promised and that he even gives cannot replace God in our lives. And that's a deep lesson if you can understand it, because that's a challenge that we all have. When God is blessing us, we think that equates to a being right with God. No, it does not. You know, the blessing of God does not equate, you know, to being right with God. God may bless you, you know, but after he blesses you, he may test that blessing. Being right with God is when he tests you in that blessing. Can you pass the test? Can you? Or is everything only good when God is not testing you? Well, God must test every son in whom he receives. God must test every promise that he gives you for him to bring the real blessing out of that promise. So, ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today, which is a follow-up on yesterday's lesson, is that after you have received the word of promise, and after that you have knocked out all contradictions in your mind and focus on the promise and knowing that the word of God is true and that God will not lie and that he will bring to pass what he has promised, after you've done all of that, as you wait for the promise, and even when the promise comes, God may, see, in your waiting period, God may tell you, bring the promise to the altar. Maybe that's why the thing is even lingering. Because you're so wrapped up on that thing. God may tell you, bring it to the altar. That's right. You know, set the wood in order, lay it on the altar before the Lord, and give it all back to me, saith the Lord. And when we are able to do that, you know, then that's when a real blessing comes. Did you know that Jesus himself, he said something in John chapter 12 and verse 24. He said, look, the seed, which may be the promise, until it dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, then it's going to bring forth even much more fruit. And that's a principle that Jesus spoke about in John 12 and 24 by himself. He said, and he spoke it. And it's the same thing. And let me equate that seed to the promise. The word of promise is the original seed which you now have. But until that seed dies, it will abide alone. It will be unfruitful still. For the seed to die, you got to bring it to the altar and give it up to the Lord. Hands off and give it right back to the Lord. And leave it on the altar. Leave it there until the Lord tells you something. When you are willing to do that, then the ultimate blessing, then that seed will produce, hallelujah, the real blessing out of the altar. Behold, saith the Lord, a blessing comes from the fire. Hallelujah. And a blessing that is refined, that is tried in the fire, that will I bring to you in your obedience to bring it to the altar. Now that's the Spirit of God that brought that in. I wasn't thinking of that. A blessing comes from the fire. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. And Jesus, one time he said, behold, there is a baptism that I'm, straightened to be baptized with fire that I must experience. Well, you got to go through it sometimes. That promise has to go through it to bring forth the real blessing. Now, that's my lesson for today. And we're going to leave it right there. And I'm going to pray over everyone in the room for an understanding, especially in your waiting season. You know, we talk about that waiting season. Well, what are you going to do in the waiting season? Some people in their waiting season, they turned to the golden calf when they were waiting and the answer from God was not forthcoming. They turned to the golden calf. Well, because they said, this man Moses, we don't know what had become of him. Make us gods to go before us. Well, that was their own response. Others, when they are waiting, they turn to the help of man. You know, this is the reason why believers turn to unbelievers for help, because we don't know how to wait and how to put it on the altar. And you go before unbelievers to look for an answer, you know. And the Bible says, look, you know, why have you turned to the help of man? Is there no balm in Gilead? I mean, has the Lord's hand become shortened that he cannot save? Has his ear become deafened that he cannot hear? Jeremiah 2 and 13. My people have committed two evils in that they have deserted me, the fountain of life. And they have hewn to themselves cisterns that can bring off no water. And that's what happens when we don't know how to properly wait. We'll turn. You know, we'll look for help somewhere else. You know, we'll take things matters into our hands because we don't know how to wait. Saul took matters into his hands because he could not wait for Saul. I mean, for Samuel. Samuel said, wait for me. I will come at such a time appointed. He waited a little bit and he could wait no longer. He said, well, I don't know. You know, bring me, you know, a ram and this and this. And he took upon him the office that he should not have taken. And he lost everything. When you are in your waiting season, what is your response? Well, I say, bring it to the altar. Put it on the altar. And the Lord says, give it all back to me. Lay it on the altar. The altar of sacrifice. And let it be purified with fire. And when the Lord is pleased with that thing, he'll send fire from above. He'll lick up that altar. And then inside that fire, oh my goodness, inside the fire is a package. That's right. It's called the promise. I mean, the blessing that comes with a promise that's backed by an oath. That's what happened to Abraham. Father, I pray over everyone that's listening to this for understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, that thing that was uppermost in your heart, it's waiting for your husband, it's waiting for your wife, waiting for the child or children that you don't have yet, that you are looking for. Whatever it is that is uppermost, waiting for your healing even, you know, maybe you've been diagnosed with something, or maybe you are trusting the Lord for something. Bring it all back to me, saith the Lord. Glory to God. When you put it, and the Lord already said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Yeah. Did he say that? Absolutely. Well, bring that promise to the altar. And light the fire underneath it. Throw up your hands and believe God. And see the salvation of the Lord. Inside that fire is coming forth a blessing that is backed by an oath. Glory to God. Now may the Lord enrich your mind and hearts with understanding in Jesus' name. This is the greatest way that blessings come from God. We've seen it in these stories that we read. Christ himself, the original seed, he had to put it on the altar to die. I lay down my life. No man takes it from me, he said. I lay it down. This commandment I receive of my Father, to lay it down and to take it up again. But until he laid it down, he was all alone, you know. But when he laid it down, glory to God, then he brought forth sons of God unto glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for the enlightenment. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.